Joining us on the line is Oisin Kelly. Oisin, sad news reaching us earlier on today. The sad passing of Mr. Boxing here in Donegal, Peter O'Donnell. Oisin, your thoughts on the sad passing?
Kieran, when I heard the news this week that Peter wasn't well, and then when I was text this morning that he passed away in the early hours this morning, it was very, very saddened, because Peter was a great character. He was a gentleman and a fantastic person, and he visited Highland, the studio, quite regular, so he did, coming with his notes, his boxing notes. He's been there. He's been coming to Highland since I was there in the early 90s as a young guy on work experience. But a larger-than-life character, and he will be sorely missed, because Peter was one of the good guys, so he was, and a gentleman, as I said, a fantastic person to meet and to talk with. He always wanted to talk, and he would talk about boxing, but then he would ask about your own life and how things were going and different things that were happening, and he just loved being in the company of people, and people loved being in the company of him. And it was very, very sad to hear of his passing this morning, and from everyone who was involved and Highland with Peter, I would like to send our condolences to his wife Pauline and his sons Rory and Paul and daughter Adele and the extended family as well during this very, very sad time.
Oisin, his interaction with the media, speaking to various media people throughout the afternoon, how well he was liked among the media was absolutely exceptional.
Hey, that's back to what I said. He got on with everybody, Kieran. Everybody liked Peter O'Donnell. It's funny, everywhere Peter O'Donnell went, he knew everybody and everybody knew him, but it was just his character and his mannerism and how he spoke to people. And listen, what he did for boxing was unbelievable. It was exceptional, the work that he put into boxing and how he dealt with the media. As I said, he used to come to Highland with the notes, and even up until recently as well, he was still messaging and sending his notes through and various things on boxing. And he loved the sport. He was so, so passionate about it, and you could see that every time that you talked to him about how passionate he was for boxing. And like, Peter's passing is going to be a huge loss to the boxing fraternity as well, because the work that he done Trojan work for boxing, and he established very, very strong links with the media in the Northwest, and indeed further afield. Like, Peter went to the National Stadium and done big shows in Belfast where he was the ring announcer. He's come through the sport at so many different levels and involved in so many aspects of it, from coaching, obviously, to doing the media work, being chair of the Donegal Boxing Board. He has coached at a really, really high level. He brought teams to major championships that wore the Irish vest. And one thing about him, he treated everybody the same. So no matter if he was speaking to a fighter, a young fighter, maybe a boy or girl at 10, 11 or 12, right the whole way up, and you'll hear from him shortly, Jason Quigley, he treated everybody the same. He gave the same attention to everybody, no matter who they were, and the same amount of respect as well. And Peter respected everybody that he dealt with, be it in ring or outside of the ring, and that was likewise from the people who were dealing with him as well. But listen, as I said, he's going to be sadly missed, and particularly from the boxing and the sporting arena in Donegal. What he'd done for that sport has been phenomenal during his time.
Thank you very much indeed to Oisin Kelly, Head of Sport here at Highland Radio. Thanks for your fantastic tribute this Sunday afternoon. Also joining us is Vice President of the Donegal Boxing Committee, James McCarron. James, you are certainly no stranger to Peter O'Donnell. You also served on a number of committees with him. Give us your thoughts on the sad passing of Peter O'Donnell this Sunday afternoon.
To repeat what Oisin said, Donegal Boxing Board was at a loss today, 100%, for what Peter has done for amateur boxing, not only in Donegal, but in Ulster and all over Ireland as well. There is not a boxer, coach or official all over Ireland that Peter didn't know. He knew everybody. Everyone had great respect for him. Recently, in the last couple of years, Peter to go on the role as MC at the National Championships in Dublin. And anyone that has ever been there, when they go up through the entrance of the door, you could hear Peter's voice, very distinguished voice, echoing through the National Stadium. He was the voice of Irish boxing, without a doubt. So we will see. It'll be very, very sadly missed through the boxing fraternity all over, and the Donegal Boxing Board were getting messages all day today of to the county board and everything about Peter as well. So a very sad time today, Kieran.
Yeah, James, you were part of a number of committees. One of those committees was the Ulster Boxing Council, which Peter was also part of. I often use the words off the field. Do you have any stories, maybe a night away at a meeting or coming home, or do you have any stories maybe any stories off the boxing ring, stories to tell the listeners of Highland Radio this Sunday afternoon?
If you started telling Peter's about stories about Peter, we'll be here for a week. He was an absolute character in amateur boxing, so he was. Myself and Peter were both members of the Ulster Boxing Council. We ran for elections at the same time. Myself and Peter ran for a member. And with the backing of Peter and other people as well, that I ran for vice president of Ulster Boxing Council. And we were both very lucky, and it was a great day for Donegal boxing, myself and Peter, that we were elected from all the clubs in the whole of Ulster, put their trust. And Peter is a member of Ulster Council. That shows you what kind of backing Peter had as well. Like, it was Peter on numerous occasions when we run in for election for the Ulster Council every 4 years, a 4 year term. Peter was always the top man, went through first in the elections. He topped the poll, which is also a great thing that Peter had behind him all the time.
Thank you very much indeed to James. James, we'll be coming back to you very shortly. Also joining us on the line is Buncrana Boxing Club member, P.G. Halloran. P.G., my condolences to you today. I know you're a very, very close friend of Peter. You also have seen him in hospital. Peter, he was a man proud of his Donegal roots.
Absolutely, Kieran. I remember Peter coming into boxing in Donegal. He was a journeyman by birth, but his roots were Donegal, and he was very proud of that. And he would visit his relations in Donegal every so often, and you'd get a breakdown on Doreen Vaughan and the house and all that with him. But he was a gentleman, and right from the word go, I remember him coming in a shy man. He didn't rush into anything, but he was always there if you needed him, and that was his reliability was unbelievable. His ability to grasp things quick was something else, but you know, he became king of the mic in latter years, and I used to always tell him that he was good because I taught him all he knew, and we had a laugh about it. But he was the likes of him you'll never see again in boxing anywhere you go. He was known the length and breadth of Ireland, and he not alone Ireland, but outside of Ireland, and especially in America. We have Mark Porter from Buncrana there, Mark would be in Boston. He was a big friend of his, and Mark was here for the big night, the awards night, and he was here because of Peter. And the first thing he did when he landed in Ireland was he rang me. He says, "I hear wee Pete's not well." Well, I says, the last I heard of him today was he was in hospital, but I would hope that he'd be out for tonight, because he did so much work to bring that event about, which was a huge event, the biggest event ever in recognition of boxing in Donegal. And Peter was central to that all the way. He was on to me for months before it, he'd ring me to see how I was doing. Don't forget the big nights coming up, you know, you couldn't but like him. He was there to help everybody. There was no old stunts and tricks with Peter. What you saw was what you got, a gentleman straight up the middle. And he was admired everywhere he went. Like, he drew a crowd. He was nearly as big as Muhammad Ali in relation to drawing crowds in his own way here, because tournaments and championships and things like that, emotions can run high, and young people, you know, they can come out of the ring a winner and a loser. But he always went for the loser, and he'd have a wee word with them there, and he would, you know, he could stop the tears very easy for that, telling them that, you know, you'll be back and it's part of it, and you know, but you need, he'd send them off with a happy heart instead of a sore heart. And there is no doubt about it, anybody that knew or knows Peter O'Donnell, I'd safely say between now and Wednesday, they will be making contact with the family in Rafoe. And my condolences goes out to Pauline and all the his sons and daughters. His grandchildren will miss him. Every time there was a birthday, it was up on Facebook. And they will never forget him, but they will miss him forever as well. And anybody that knows him will feel sad today. It's not a day of joy, it's a day of sadness, but that's life and it's the way it goes. But I was talking to Peter way back about 8 or 10 days ago, and he said he was fighting the good fight and how he was going to come out of it. He was confident that he would make it through, but you know, every time I spoke to him on the phone, his voice was going down that bit more. And then I was getting a call, so I'm at 9:10 in the morning, and I'd ring back. I might be in the shower or whatever, and I'd ring back, and Peter may, it could be later on in the day, but he'd tell me then that he'd call me, you know, like it was a change from give me a call, but it was, he was now calling me when he could do it. Alas, the fight for life is over. Like it's another story now. But it's not a day of joy for anybody involved in boxing, and there are nothing to say about Peter that's not good. And if I see anybody or hear of anybody that has anything to say wrong about Peter, you know, it's not the Peter I know. It's not the Peter anybody knew in boxing. And hopefully it'll be tough on the family, for he was such a family man. He was great for the young people in it, and he will be missed there. But that's life, the cold hard facts of life. He went very quick. I was talking to him in Derry way back for Eugene Duffy's celebration as well, and he was in the usual good form that night. And he was talking about the event that was coming up, and he was all the business on it. But alas, no more. We have Peter, but if there's a high place in heaven, Peter definitely is sitting up beside the top man in it, and the top man would feel good to be sitting beside Peter, you know. But that's the way of it.
Well said, PJ Hallinan. Lovely a tribute indeed. We're now going to stay in Donegal, go to the Finn Valley area. A man who certainly knew Peter very, very well. Former world title contender, Jason Quigley. Jason, a man who you knew very, very well. And when you were a pro, when you went pro, he was a regular to your fights.
Yeah, you know, Peter's been an amazing part of my life, and especially the boxing part of my life also, from refereeing my first ever fight to being at my first ever professional fight. He was at my amateur first fight, and then he was over then in the States then for many of my professional fights. But I can always remember the first time he ref my first fight. We got into the corner and the referee comes over to make sure you have your gum shield and everything in. And it was my first ever fight in the Donegal Novice Championships. It was actually in the Rafoe Boxing Club. And Peter came into the corner to me and he goes, "All right now, young fella, have your gum shield in?" And check for the gum shield, that all sorted. And he goes, "The best of luck to you now. Keep your chin up and your hands down." And Jesus, I was like, everything that you're told not to do by your coach, when the referee told me to do that, wee Peter, I was just, he had me baffled. But he was just that, always had that, he always had that sense of crack and that sense of humor about him. And, you know, I think it was James that said it perfectly there. Like, if you started to tell stories about wee Pete, you'd be here for a full week or more. The man was an absolute character. He was a gentleman, and as he would say, there's not many of us left. And, you know, he is just a massive loss to the boxing community. And it was brought up earlier there as well, like, as a young fella going into the national championships for years, you always remember the MC's voice. And, you know, in the more recent years, Peter O'Donnell's voice has become the voice of boxing. And that is going to be a massive void now in the National Stadium and the Championships. I just don't think they're going to be the same as they were without his voice there. And the way he used to give that little 10, 15 second silent pause before he would announce the winner and everything, especially in the finals, he brought up a great suspense and everything as well. But, you know, I don't know. It's all still a little bit hard to believe that he is gone, because what that man did for the Rafoe Boxing Club, for the Donegal Board, the Ulster Board, the Irish Board, for what he did in boxing and the young people around, it is, I don't think it'll ever be, anyone will be ever able to match that again, Kieran.
Absolutely brilliant, Jason Quigley. Just as Jason is staying with you, what did it mean to you? We talked about Peter the coach, Peter the referee, Peter the stadium announcer. You were there through the whole thing because he was your coach, he was a referee in a number of your fights as well. What did it mean? What did it mean to you, Peter O'Donnell, the supporter, when you went pro?
Unbelievable. Like, he was at nearly every one of my fights over in the States. You know, we'd be walking down Venice Beach together, me and wee Pete, and he would be just chatting stories, and it would be about 25, 30 degrees in Venice Beach, and that wee man would be looking for a cup of tea and a takeaway cup to walk down the beach with. You know, he loved his cup of tea, and so did I. You know, and there was many the times that we sat in the room after weigh-ins and had a cup of tea and a wee biscuit and had a chat, and there's plenty of pictures there to show that as well. He was just an absolute gem to be around as well. You know, he was able, you'd have that fight week nerves and, you know, thinking of the fight, thinking of the opponent, thinking about weighing in. But when wee Pete came into the room, he just kind of, not that he took your worries away, but he just was able to really put you in a good mental place as well when you're around him. Like, he was always having the crack and looking at the bright side of life. And, you know, wee Peter lived his life to the fullest. He absolutely did. You know, you would have got Peter on the road quicker than you'd have got him sitting in the house. He lived for boxing. And, you know, you were talking about everything that he's been around in terms of the boxing sense. But, you know, he even introduced myself and my wife into the reception of our wedding as well. First time as a married couple. And, you know, he has so many memories in my life now, not only in boxing, but in my personal life as well. And the door was always open. The kettle was always boiled. The boxing gym was always available for you. He just loved boxing. And there's so many people in boxing to get something out of it for themselves. So, so many. Wee Peter was not one of those lads. There was only one thing that wee Peter wanted out of boxing, and that was a picture with a fighter, a coach. It didn't matter if he had 100 fights and 100 losses, as they were saying previously there. Peter didn't bother him whatsoever. He just wanted to have the chats, have the pictures, have the memories. Wouldn't matter if you're a Northwest champion, if you're a world champion. And the walls inside the gym and Rafoe reflect that. You can barely get an inch of space on the walls down there with the photos and pictures. And I mean pictures of anybody and everybody. Peter just loved to have those memories, loved to have those relationships. He would call you up days, and he would just chat to you about anything and everything. And all of a sudden, right, young Quigley, good luck, God bless. And he'd be away just like that. And then he'd call you up in a couple of days again with something else. And up until even the last couple of weeks, wee Peter was even helping me with some of the exhibition lads on the card. And I'm talking 3-4 weeks ago. That wee man was just living for boxing. And it is just going to be an absolute void and in the world of boxing, but also to his family and his friends, the people that knew him outside boxing as well, because he was an absolute character and a gentleman, and he will be very, very sorely missed.
Jason Quigley, interesting point. Indeed, delighted to say, joining me live in the studio is Danny Ryan. Danny certainly needs no introduction to the boxing community. Danny, take us back to 1993. And Peter has been quoted saying it is one of Peter's most proudest moments when you were the Ivy Senior Championships winning the middleweight final. Talk to me about that moment. I'm sure it's something you still remember to this day.
Yeah, back in 1993, it's just like yesterday, Tommy Stewart was my corner man, and Peter was also my corner man, and my father too. So it was a great night. It was an Irish senior title, and Donegal would be deprived of an Irish senior champion at that time. I think Paddy Doherty was the last. It could have been 20 years, so it was a very proud moment for a full boxing club because we were fairly new, and but we had a great club at the time, and still is a great club. But that night was amazing. Peter throwing out his arms and hugging and Tommy. And, you know, it was an emotional night. And it was for Donegal too, because it was deprived of an Irish title also. But me and Peter go back a long, long way in Rafo Boxing Club, because we're going back to probably the early 80s when I used to box for Twin Towns Boxing Club. And we went for a sparring session to Strabane, and I met up with a coach called Tommy Stewart and got friendly with Tommy Stewart. And Peter and my father were best friends, and my father and Peter got talking, and Tommy had left Strabane Boxing Club, and my father and Peter, they got chatting, and they sent me in to Strabane to Teletronics in early 80s, and to ask Tommy would he be interested in training the club in Rafo. And then Tommy thankfully said yes, and that was the beginning of Rafo. And Peter would have been the treasurer at that time, and he wouldn't have a lot of experience with boxing at that time. And Tommy sort of come to the club and sort of guided myself and my father and Peter for the few years. But Peter was the treasurer, and he was diligent with all the small things and all the important things. And he created a great atmosphere in the club. There was always fun, there was always happiness and jokes in the club throughout them years. But I remember coming back from a tournament in the north one time, and we were coming back through the border at Derry to Calais, and I remember we got pulled into the British search barracks, and they asked, they pulled us into the barracks for a search. And I'll never forget, and this story was told many a time for years after, but the army man said to Peter, what's your job? And Peter said he was a grave digger, and said to my father fairly heavy at the time, and what's your occupation? And he says, I'm a jockey, you know. So this story was told for many a years, you know, and the fun that we had throughout them years was immense. But Peter also was part of a boxing club in 1962 in Derry. It was called the Lombard. He spent a few years, and the family were showing me a beautiful photo of it, and he was the back row. So he had a small experience at one time of boxing himself. But the years in Rafo was great. In 1993, the question you asked me, we won the Irish senior title. We had the block work up to the roof at the time. Peter and my father, Christy O'Donnell, they would have been working heavily to get the block work up. But the roof was, they had run out of money and there was no funding. And James McDade and people like that would have been very good, I think, in funding. But the RTÉ show showed coverage of the fight of 1993 and the last two or three rounds of the fight. And we got word to Mick Dowling that would there be any chance he could mentioned to Michael O'Hara, the presenter of the RTÉ boxing show, would there be any chance that would Mike mention to him that we're without a roof, you know? And
at the end of my fight, the fight was over, the discussions was over, and he said, just before I leave you now, after Danny Ryan's win, I'd just like to say, a roof and refoe, they're needing funding for a new roof, and it wasn't that long after that we got funding to finish the roof. And Peter and my father and I think Christy O'Donnell also would have done most of the manual work for that. But we're indebted to Peter and refoe, and to Tommy Stewart and to my father. But Peter, I also remember going to Dublin as 16-year-old and to box in some national championships, and we had no funds. But I remember Peter going up to the shops in the town and asking them to give them a box of biscuits or a bottle of wine, and they gathered up a few bits and pieces, and they went around all the houses in Rafoe just to collect a pound per house, you know. So he fought all above his weight all his life, Peter. And my father's deceased now, but they were great friends. But the work that they done for us in Rafoe, we can never repay that, for keeping us off the streets and keeping us out of mischief and giving us a goal and, you know, providing an environment, safe environment, a fun environment, and somewhere we could go and relax and have a training session. And we had travel then to the tournaments, and they were always paid, and it was always great fun. And Peter always had a great tenacity for life, and his bricklaying, his building trade was every bit as good as his bookkeeping skills for the club, and his book writing and his applying for grants. It just never stopped. But Peter always knew to have good people around him, and it was always good people he had around him, and they always worked for him. And his family and the tournaments, there's so many memories that goes in my head. The tournaments and the shows, there was always somebody in their place for the door, for making the sandwiches, for the building the ring, taking down the ring. Peter, everything, there wasn't a box was never missed and not ticked with Peter. But his family was great, because with Peter you need a community, and Pauline and Pauline would be very good for allowing Peter to do all this work throughout the lifetime, and with my own mother, with my father. And it takes a community to build a gym and to create a club and create Irish champions, because back in the 80s and 90s, we've had 2, 3, 4 Irish juvenile champions, and that was fairly much unheard of at the time. But we had a great atmosphere, we had a good vision, we had a great goal in life, and it revolved around Peter with his paperwork then, because Peter just kept everything right and tortured us every night with maybe up and coming events or weigh-ins for tournaments and dates and different things. He was always on top of so many things. But I'd just like to thank Pauline for allowing Peter to give us a chance to have him in Rafoe Boxing Club.
Thank you very much indeed. Lovely words from Danny Ryan. Thank you very much indeed, Danny. An emotional tribute. So thank you very much indeed. My apologies to Derry native Paul McCluskey. Delighted to say, joining me on the line is Derry fighter, former professional boxer from Northern Ireland. He competed from 2005 to 2013. Paul McCluskey, you're not surprised at high regard that Peter has thought of?
Well, everything that was spoke about there, I can only concur the same thing. Peter, I knew my whole life, basically. He was always looking about what was going on in the boxing world. He was a giant of Irish boxing. The amount of years of commitment and passion that he gave to the game will go unrivaled. He was a legend of the sport, for sure.
Thank you so much indeed, Paul. Paul, in terms of you first time meeting him and the first time coaching you, is there a standout memory?
Well, that's quite a while ago, but again, I just remember him always at everything you were, every championship you went to, he was always there, he was always busy, he just kept things going. He had so much passion for the game, and that rubbed off on everybody. And for the commitment and time that he put in, you just can't thank him enough for it, you know. But he was just so passionate about the sport in general, you know.
Yeah. We're going to go back now to James. James, as Vice President of Donegal Boxing, talk to me about the local roots, because he obviously was a coach at national level and a referee and a stadium announcer. But as Oisin Kelly said in his piece, from a boy or girl 9 years of age, he's done huge work at local level, and that certainly cannot be forgotten.
100%. No, what Peter done for Donegal Boxing will never be matched. Definitely not. I always believe, and I think Peter's first love was boxing. So it was. He lived, he breathed, he slept boxing. So that anyone that's involved in amateur boxing at all would fit to concur with that story, that's without a doubt. There wasn't a show, a club tournament, championship, nor nothing in the whole county that Peter wouldn't be ringing you. What time would I get you at Manor Roundabout was the usual phone call you got the day the boxing was on, and you'd have met him. And the same thing, doesn't matter where it was, and we travelled all over Ireland to different championships and everything, and there was always a crack in the car, and there could have been maybe two or three of us, and myself, Peter, and Eugene Duffy, a great mate from the Derry County Board. Eugene, the three of us would be in the car going maybe to Dublin, and you're in the car no longer until you're in the Dublin and the stadium, because the crack would be that good, and himself and Eugene would be telling stories and other yarns of things going back over the lifespan of amateur boxing all over. Then there was always characters and like all boxing and all over boxing, but Peter was always, as soon as you got into the car, you knew that your journey was never going to be long, because the crack started as soon as he got into the seat. And we travelled all over Donegal and all the tournaments, and Peter was the first man always, and to all the tournaments and the club shows. And as I said already, and everyone else said it here as well, that Peter knew everybody in boxing, and we joked many times at the time, if you didn't know Peter O'Donnell, you weren't worth knowing. And I think that's definitely stood to him. He was from novice boxers, from boy girl one, the whole way up to senior. Peter knew everybody. We ran many a championships and weigh-ins in the morning, and Peter would be standing in the very 11-year-old, standing nervous at the scales before they step on, and Peter would grab him by the arm or by the arm and say, there's definitely a table in you today, kid. And this brought a bit of cheer, and a bit, they'd be running back and telling their coaches, did you hear that? Peter O'Donnell said there's an Irish title in me today.
Absolutely.
That's the kind of man Peter was around boxing.
Many thanks to James McCarron. That is the voice of Vice President of the Donegal Boxing Committee there, James McCarron. Well, the clock on the wall has beaten us for this tribute, but a lovely, lovely tribute. And we all know, no matter how long this tribute is, lots and lots of stuff that we could say about the late, great Peter O'Donnell. My thanks to Paul McCluskey joining us from Derry this afternoon. Huge thanks to you, Paul. My thanks to Jason Quigley from the Finn Valley for joining us today as well. Not forgetting PG Hallahan tuning in from Buncrana today, and as I say, James McCarron as well, and Highland Radio's head of sport, Oisin Kelly, who started off a beautiful, beautiful tribute to Peter O'Donnell today, and the man sitting in front of me, a lovely tribute, Danny Ryan. A huge thanks for joining us on Highland Radio Sunday Sport this sad Sunday afternoon.